Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Best People We Know radio show, where we bring you every week experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you so that you can do the same. I'm your host, Deb Scott, results coach and author of the award-winning book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. And that is what we are going to do today with our guest, Pat Hastings. You will not be disappointed with this show. You call your friends now because these are going to be tools you can use. So before I introduce Pat live, I just want to tell you a little bit about her so you can be excited about what you're going to expect in today's show. Pat Hastings is an internationally recognized inspirational speaker, workshops, and retreat leaders, and she's also an alcohol and drug therapist. She is a radio talk show host as well, so you're going to want to check her out, and we'll put that information up there for you in the chat room. And she's a certified spiritual coach. She's the author of the award-winning book, Simply a Woman of Faith, How to Live in Spiritual Power and Transform Your Life. She has this on CDs, and you can get her tips on how to pray and get results on her website, which I have posted, simplyawomanoffaith.com, on the chat room. Pat's professional and spiritual background has equipped her to facilitate spiritual transformations in all people, no matter what their spiritual religious beliefs. Her message is one of love and hope, and that transformation is universal for all women who seek to be free of the holds of the past and want to step into their power and potential. Pat provides powerful guidance and wisdom, and Pat is with us today to do exactly that. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Deb. It's great to be here on this beautiful sunny day in New England.
Yes, it is. It is a great sunny day in New England, and we had some rain, but the rain has passed, and I can see clearly now, as Johnny Nash would say in his hit song of the 70s. We're feeling the clouds lift now. We're feeling better. It's all good.
Yes, I have to say,
I just finished your book, Simply a Woman of Faith, last night, and boy, am
wow.
I charged energy. I love it. I love it. I had been reading it. It's, you know, for the listeners on the line live, or if you're listening to the replay, this book is so different from anything else I've ever read because it's really books within a book. Every story has its own beginning and end inside the book. And then as you read more stories, you're on fire. You're spiritual fire. I mean, if there was ever a before and after scenario that I could share, if you had hopelessness and fear before, you're going to have faith and hope after. And I just love it. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Deb. I love it. You loved it. I'm glad you finished it last night.
I know.
Talk
it was timely. Perfect. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's so many questions and so many things that I want to ask you, and we only have a short amount of time to get the flavor, but I want the listeners to be able to have useful tools that they can apply in their own life so that they can live on purpose and power. And one of the things I just wanted to jump in here, I know that we're really jumping right in, because your book has so many stories of answered prayer and how you communicate and get those answers. And I was just wondering if you could share one of those stories with us. My favorite actually was the mortgage story, because what looked so bad ended up being so good. But if you could just pick one real-life example that resonates to share with us, that would be a great way, I think, to start.
You know what, I love all the stories, too, because it's so powerful of God intervening at the last minute. But the story that I'm feeling led to share is my Newport story, which I know that you said that you like also. And that's about, we all have that voice within, whether we call it God or intuition, but it's within all of us. And so many of us, we don't pay attention to that voice. We just say, oh, that's me. And, you know, we might get... we might get a message, or we might think about somebody and say, oh, I should call them, and then we don't call, or we forget about it. Or if we do call, we find out that that's exactly what they needed. They needed us to call because they were feeling down. So I really encourage, all of the listeners to really get into the habit of paying attention to that small voice within. And what happens, people say to me, well, how do you know it's you? You know, it's how do you know it's God and it's not just you? And the way that I know is through practice, because the more that I listen to that voice and follow through, the more I know that, wow, that really is God speaking to me. So the story that I'd like to share today is my Newport story.
I love that story, so that's good.
Yeah. I had just finished college. I went back to school in my 40s, and it was huge. It was really scary for me to do, and I had just finished, and I was just feeling so full of love and gratefulness to God. And I was going away for the weekend just to go away and be, and I went to Newport. And before I went, I prayed and I asked God to lead me to someone who really needed to feel his love that while I was there. And the whole weekend went by and I didn't meet anybody. There was no synchronicities. And I was disappointed because I had asked God to lead me. And I was about to leave and I decided to drive out to the ocean one more time. And I was still hoping that I would meet somebody. And as I was driving, that little voice said, pull over here. So I did, and I parked and crossed the street, and I was on a beach with all rocks, and there was lots of children and people playing. And I said, okay, now what, God? And all of a sudden, that little voice said, that woman sitting over there on the rocks at the edge of the water. And I first panicked, and I said, oh, you don't really want me to go over there, do you? I got scared, and then, but I knew that I had asked to be led, so I did. I took a deep breath. I walked over, and she was just sitting there looking out at the water. And I said, excuse me, and I said, my name is Pat Hastings, and I have a message for you. And she just kind of looked at me, and I said, God wants you to know that he loves you very much. And she just looked, and she put her hands in her face and started to sob and sob and sob. So, of course, I had no idea of what was going on, and I just quietly prayed. Finally, she came to, if you will, and looked up at me and said, I wanted to die. I was about to commit suicide.
Oh, my. Yeah. I know. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. So we talked for quite a while, and she said that her husband had left her, and she had to take some time out of work. And when she went back to work, she was fired because she had taken time out. And she had just felt like God had abandoned her. And she so needed to know that, you know, God really loved her. And how many people out there, maybe listening right now, are really struggling, are really stressed, and don't know that they are loved. And I'm here to tell you that God loves you. If you need to hear that message today, as that message was for that woman at Newport, I'm here to say that God loves you and he hasn't abandoned you. And so we talked for quite a while, and we kept in contact through email. And she ended up going back to school and got another job, and, you know, her life went on. So, you know, just listening to that small, still voice within and practicing, and it's the little things, you know. It happens to me a lot where I'll get a message, and it's always like, you want me to do what, God?
Yeah.
But I've learned to listen. And I do, and it's amazing what happens.
Yeah, it's like, you know, okay, my life is just none of my business, but I'm just going to trust that God knows where things are going. You know, the one thing, there's so many things I love about that story, but, you know, obviously I think we all can relate to having some sort of feeling that we should maybe be doing something and thinking, well, that's crazy, that just can't be me. But what I love about what you're sharing with us today is, you know, step out in faith and do it anyway, because you know, that person, you know, she could have committed suicide if you hadn't listened and stopped by and made such a powerful difference.
The piece that I'm thinking about, Deb, is, you know, asking. You know, I asked, you know, God to be led, you know, so if we want to hear God more in our lives and hear that small, still voice, which is within all of us, ask to hear it, you know, ask to be led, ask to be shown, you know, because God wants us to ask. And when we ask, and, you know, when people read my book, they'll comment and they'll say, you know, they read my book, and I have the first chapter is all about yard sales and how God provides, and they'll say to God after they read the book, well, you know, Pat asked for that. I can ask for that too. So it opens them up to asking for small things as well as big things.
Yeah, and you know, I think that when we hear stories, it's like that 4-minute mile. As soon as one person, other people could do it. And you experiencing and sharing your experience, strength, and hope can empower all of us to try to do and maybe try to do something different that we hadn't done before. And asking is so simple, but sometimes we forget to do that in those little things. Maybe you could share, because you are a spiritual coach, and you do teach women how to hear that still, small voice within. Could you share something about that for the listeners?
How to do that?
Yes, exactly.
Example?
Yep, example and how to do it.
Well, an example of asking, I learned to ask many, many years ago. I've been on this spiritual path for over 35 years, and there was a time in my life where my ex-husband was out of work for a year, and we had 4 children under 10. So I learned then to ask God for things for my children, like shoes, and I would go to yard sales and pray before I went to the yard sale that God would provide. And I have so many stories of answered prayer. And the one that comes to my mind is my ex-husband. He had been out of work, and he had a job interview, and he needed shoes. And we didn't have the money to buy the shoes. And he was specific. And that's another thing about asking, to be specific. So he wanted a brown wingtip shoes, and he was a size 12D. Now, that's a pretty that's not your usual 9 or 10 men's shoes that you might find at a yard sale. And I knew that this was going to be I thought it was going to be a tall order for God. Nothing is a tall order for God. God wants to provide.
Yeah.
So anyway, I prayed, and I didn't find the shoes right away, but within a few weeks, I went to a yard sale and was walking around, and there were these boxes of shoes, and my heart started to pound, and I started to go through the shoes, and there was no men's shoes there. And as I was walking out, the man came over, and he said, what are you looking for? I said, well, you don't have them. He said, what do you want? I said, well, I'm looking for size 12D men's shoes. And he said, well, come this way. And there were some shoes on the other side I didn't see. And we walked over, and there they were, a pair of size 12D brown wingtip shoes. I couldn't believe it, and they were, I think, $25. Well, of course, I had to tell the man that I have been praying for shoes, and
yeah.
He kind of looked at me like I was crazy, you know. But I knew that that was a direct answer to prayer, and the shoes fit my ex-husband, perfectly. And, you know, so I have lots of stories like that, and, you know, when we begin to really ask for the small things and we're specific and we start to get them, it gives us more courage to keep asking. And so I ask for everything. I mean, I have a continual conversation with God all day. You know, I'm always talking and listening, and that's the other piece. You know, listening, that's really, really important.
Yeah, and I think the dialogue that you share in the book and in your work with the real life examples in an ordinary day make things extraordinary. But you talk in a way that's simple and honest and sincere, and you share all the emotions, the good, the bad, and everything in between. And I think that sincerity is empowering. But I think it takes away any sort of intimidation we might have about how to converse with God. And the more we do it, the better we get at it, because we're exercising those spiritual muscles and increasing our faith. And I think that that's what you show in your book is the progression of that.
And right. And,
one
and
of the,
you know,
go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, you know, I was going to try to segue into something else that some of the listeners, you know, might be able to relate to, and that's the fact that you grew up in an alcoholic home. And, you know, some people today may be battling things from their past that they grew up with, some sort of dysfunction or something that they wish didn't happen to them, some sort of a negative. But one of the things that I love about your inspirational story is how you use that as a springboard to help people and make it your life work today and going on to get your master's degree in this. But can you tell us how that how that transformation happened and what the results of that, the fruit of that has been for you and in the lives of others as well?
Yes. I became an alcohol and drug therapist over 20 years ago. And, you know, often I truly believe that whatever happens in our lives, we can transform and use it. So I grew up in a pretty severe alcoholic home with two alcoholic parents. And so what I did to compensate was to become a people pleaser. And I always wanted to please everybody else because inside I felt terrible. You know, I felt inadequate. I felt self-hatred. I felt a lot of fear. But I was so out of touch with that growing up in that home that I became a people pleaser. And I married somebody who was also from an alcoholic home, which is not surprising. And we really tried to make our marriage work, but with the dysfunction from both of our homes, it was really difficult. Well, I went into therapy, and I started to heal from that alcoholic home. And I knew that God was healing me of my past and that God wanted me to serve in that way and become an alcohol and drug therapist. So I went back to school in my 40s, which was really, really, really difficult, and faced my fears. And I was able to, you know, finish school and then get a job as an alcohol and drug therapist. And people would say to me, you know, isn't it hard working with alcoholics and drug addicts? And I would always say, I love what I'm doing, you know, because of my own suffering and that God had transformed me, he gave me the gift and the compassion to work with alcoholic and drug addicts. So, so whatever has happened in your life, you can always, with God, you can always transform it and help and serve others. So that's what, you know, my life has been over the last 20 years, helping them. And I loved it. You know, I loved it because although I didn't become an alcoholic, I had my own addictions. You know, my own addiction was to rushing and staying busy. And, you know, that's a tough one. And a lot of women have that addiction of rushing, staying busy so they don't have to feel their feelings. So I help women now. Again, you know, whatever we've been through, we can help somebody else. And, you know, as a spiritual coach right now, I help women how to go in and to heal the pain inside. And, you know, one of the addictions is rushing and staying busy.
Yeah.
So
I love how the mess becomes the mission. And when you're doing what you love, you don't tire. You were doing what you loved and you were helping other people and helping yourself in the process, and you were energized instead of exhausted. And I think that's a real good thermometer test. If you're doing the things that you need to be doing, are you feeling energized or are you feeling exhausted? Is it bringing you peace or is it bringing you chaos? And, you know, what you are doing in your spiritual counseling and coaching is working with people from a place of authentic experience. And I know for me, I don't like working with people that I don't trust. The talking heads are fine, and I love the scientific studies. I mean, I'm really big into that. But there's nothing like someone who understands how you feel and can give you the hope that they've been there too, and this is how to overcome, you know, those obstacles and make your challenges your celebrations. Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
I was just going to say, it really doesn't matter all what you have after your name, you know, the letters. What really matters to people is, you said it perfectly, Deb, you know, do you understand where I'm at? Have you, not that you have to have the same exact examples, but people want to be understood. People want to work with somebody who yeah, she gets me. She understands where I am. She's been there, and she's moved forward, you know, whether it be healing your fear, whatever it is. So, and people want authenticity. You said it perfectly. We want to work with somebody or to be with somebody who's authentic and who's real. And that's
yeah.
the key.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, that's why all the stories are, you know, the real life examples is so great. You know, one of the things that I think that, you know, listeners want to know is let's just take that one step further is, you know, how to find living our passion and doing what we love. And you had an example of how you got your first job in the drug rehab center.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of those pearls of wisdom we can bridge to some of the listeners to use to live on their purpose and increase their faith and hope that it's just around the corner for them.
Mm-hmm. I think that most important, and when I start working with, and my passion is to work with women. Interesting, I worked with men for over 20 years. Like 99% of the clients that I worked with were men, and now my passion is to work with women. And excuse me, one of the things that we begin with is how to start a spiritual practice, and that's key to moving forward, to finding your purpose, to listening. And many women that I work with, you know, pray, but they don't have a spiritual discipline, as I call it. And so that's what I teach women how to do, how to journal each day, how to go within and to listen to their feelings. So I have a step-by-step process on how to do that, how to go within and how to set up that spiritual discipline that I'm talking about. So that's what I do. I help women to go within and make that commitment, and it really is a commitment to yourself and to God, that you will take that time each day and pray, and not just pray, but to listen. Many people will talk, but they don't know how to listen. So I teach women how to sit and pray and to listen, and to get in touch with their feelings, which oftentimes they have medicated because they don't want to go within. So that's the first thing that I teach people how to do, is how to go within, how to listen, and get comfortable with being with themselves.
Yeah, and you know, I think if we start, you know, if we enjoy the results, we're more, and we see the results, and we believe that the results will be there, we're more
right.
inclined to make that time to do it. You know, I'm sure people that are athletes, you know, I know for myself, when I'm at the gym and running, I'm not enjoying necessarily the sweat and the exhaustion that I'm going
right.
through in the moment. But boy, I love when my jeans fit better. I love that.
Right.
You know, or taking vitamins. You don't take vitamins once
right.
a month and expect to have, you know, great medical results. You have to take your vitamins every day, you know, and
right.
this is no
right.
different. And I think if we know that this will give us the peace, the purpose, the hope,
yeah.
the enthusiasm, the ability to be happy by doing these small things in our day, the more we do them, the more success we experience, the more we want to, and then, you know, it all just grows from there, and I think it's just all good. I mean, but sometimes people don't really have those out-of-the-box ideas on their own, how to create those disciplines that are fun and creative. One of the things that I loved that you taught me, and you have it in your book, is creating something called an intention book. Can you tell us what that is and how it can help us be our best?
Yes. An intention book, many people know about the vision board, and it's the same thing, but it's in a little book. It's what I did is I bought a little album, and in it are all of my intentions. There may be pictures, there may be sayings, there may be quotes, all kinds of whatever speaks to your heart. And mine came about, I was in the process of writing my book, and it took me 7 years to write a book because I didn't believe in myself, and I kept saying, nobody's going to read this book, I'm wasting my time. So, of course, I kept wasting my time, and it took me 7 years. When I did my intention book, I put in my intention book that my book would be finished in 1 year, and I had pictures in my book about standing at the podium speaking. I had quotes, and for 1 year, I took that intention book every day to prayer. And sometimes during the day, if I would start to feel afraid or overwhelmed, not knowing what I was doing, I would just look at my intention book, and I would feel energy. So really what it is, it's kind of like your prayers, if you will, on paper or in a book. So you see before it happens, and that's, isn't that what faith is about? It's seeing before, it's believing and seeing before it happens. So that's what my intention book is about. And I have three of them, and one of them I retired 2 years ago. So I have a whole book on retirement and, you know, what I wanted to create. And can I tell my Hawaii story now from my intention book?
Oh, my goodness. I know you want to tell your Hawaii story, so we're going to hear the Hawaii story because that's part of the intention. But I just want the listeners to know that I've actually seen these books that Pat has. And I'm telling you, you know, maybe I was under the rock, but I have never, ever heard of an intention book, and I had never seen one. And just looking at yours made me want to go out and get mine done. Just, it was bright, it was happy, it was positive. You know, our minds scientifically don't know the difference between what we imagine and visualize and the experience that's reality. It's like that old lemon example. You know, you got a lemon in your mouth and you can start feeling the saliva. And, you know, that's how powerful imagery is. And I really, really can see there's a tangible benefit in taking the time to create an intention book and focusing on the dreams and the positive things that God wants for us and the universe wants to give to us with God is just one of the tools of the many that you teach people how to do so that they can get the results that they want. And who doesn't want to be happy? And I know you want to tell your Hawaii story, which is a very happy, a warm and fuzzy happy story. Yeah. So this is a good real life example.
Yeah. Let me go back to the intention book a little bit on how to do that. What I did when I realized that, you know, I kept saying nobody's going to read my book, I really needed to change that on the inside before I could bring it out on the outside, if you will. It has to. Our thinking is where the power is. After I, you know, through a series of synchronistic events, I realized that I needed to sit down and do the book. So what I did was I went out and bought a little album, and I think for $1, and I had a bunch of magazines, and I just sat and quietly just allowed pictures to come to me and words, and that's how I began. So it doesn't have to be elaborate, but just so it's something of your dreams, what you want to create, what it is that you want in your life, and then put them in that book, and then read that book as much as you, you know, you choose to. And for me, it was taking that book to prayer each morning, and I'm still doing that. I'm still doing that. But anyway.
Yeah.
So.
And no, that's great because it's something that somebody listening can do today. And it might be one new thought that gets one new result. And you know, every seed is the beginning to a new garden. So, you know, you have to,
right.
It's a process, and you got to begin by beginning. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. So I just thought that was a really great thing that we can all do right now in this present moment. But the Hawaii story is fascinating because it brings us up fast forward to today and how the strength of your process in these steps can manifest into something even more bold than you imagine. So do share the Hawaii story with us.
Yes, I will. Thank you. It has been my dream to go to Hawaii for years. It was just a dream, and I've had it for years. And I was asked to speak at a church several months ago, and I shared my story in my book. And after the service, I had a book signing, and a woman came up to me, and we just started to talk, and she said, you know, I'm stepping out in faith. And I said, really? What are you doing? She says, well, I'm moving back to Hawaii. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. I said, very casually, it's always been my dream to go to Hawaii. And she looks at me and she says, well, you can stay at my place. And I was just like, really? She said, oh, yeah. And then she has a postcard in her pocketbook, and she whips out the postcard, She lives in Maui, Hawaii, a beautiful condo right on the ocean. So I was like absolutely floored, and I knew that she was serious. I knew that she wasn't just saying it. And I came home, and what even makes the story more fun is that the month before I was in New Jersey, I live in Rhode Island, visiting my brother, and he dropped me off at the airport, and I realized that I was a day early, and it would cost a lot of money to fly back that day. So they said, Southwest is cheaper. Why don't you try Southwest? So I did. And as I was walking through Southwest Airport, there was a man standing there at a kiosk, and I walked over, and he said, if you sign up for a Southwest credit card today, you will get a round-trip ticket anywhere in the United States. So I thought, what the heck? So I signed up for a credit card, and as I walked away, I said to myself, this is for Hawaii. Now, I have had, again, Hawaii on my heart for years. Now, how did I don't know. I just knew that that was for Hawaii. And then a month later, this woman invites me to Hawaii. So I am going to Hawaii in 9 days. I'm going to be there for 2 weeks. And I'm going to be there for Thanksgiving. And I'm just, so I came home from meeting this woman. And I said, I know that Hawaii is in my intention book. And I looked at my intention book, and there was a picture of the ocean with a turtle, and it was Maui, Hawaii. So I've had this intention. I did this book exactly 2 years ago. So for 2 years, every day I've been seeing that picture of Maui, Hawaii, and now it's coming true that I'm going to Maui, Hawaii. So I'm expecting. Oh, she also told me, which is really fascinating, is that the cover of my book is exactly where I'm staying in Hawaii. So I tell you, I'm expecting miracles and magic and wonderful things to happen in Hawaii.
Well, you know, I think for people listening, the key to that story is don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle.
Yes.
And I think if we let go of the results, how we experience the results is not up to us. What we need to do is keep the vision. Do those things that you talked about, asking. We have to ask because you're not going to get something if you don't ask. If you have $1 million in the bank but you don't know it's there, it doesn't do you any good. And being very specific, I think that that's one of the things that, you know, you really emphasized in our time together here is being specific and listening. You know, it's easy for me to talk, but, you know, being quiet and listening and helping, giving us the tools that you did to help us discern, is it my voice or is it God's voice? Is it the universe voice? And feeling, you know, how am I feeling about that? Am I feeling peace? Mm-hmm. Am I feeling confusion? And then putting it into an action. And, you know, I just think the Hawaii story is great because it all fell into place like a domino effect. And when things happen that naturally, do you not view that as sort of a divine intervention when things fall into place so easily without any effort on your part?
Definitely, and I'm really learning on my spiritual path is to really allow things to happen. And for most of my life and many people that I work with, you know, they think, and I thought, I have to make things happen, you know, in that doing. I have to do it. I have to make things happen. And I'm really learning to really, rather than doing, I'm really learning how to be and how to allow things to happen. It's so much more peaceful to just allow the universe, God, to lead us, and doors will open, you know. But it takes a lot of trust because, you know, I learned to make things happen, and that's, and underneath that is really fear, you know, the fear that if I didn't get out there and, you know, work my butt off, and I'm not saying working is bad, but I'm learning to work and then be and to really relax. I was talking to a friend yesterday who is out of work, and she hurt her back. She was doing yoga, and she really hurt her back, and she was hearing God's voice say, you know, just rest, and she said to me, I have such a hard time doing that. I feel like I need to be doing. I need to be looking for a job, and it's so hard just to be, and many of us have that difficulty with just being and allowing and trusting. But when we do that, we see the miracles. I mean, I just showed up at that church not expecting anything. I was just doing the next right thing and showing up. And, you know, she came up to me and it just flowed. And the other thing that, Deb, you were part of this little miracle. I'm starting my blog talk radio show Monday, and it's called Finding the God of Your Understanding, and it's every other week. So the first one is Monday. Well, in 2 weeks, the next one, I'm going to be in Hawaii. So I could do the show, you know, from Hawaii, but Deb had told me about somebody that she had on her radio show, and she was on his radio show, and his name is Soul Dancer. So she had said, Pat, when you go to Hawaii, you need to check out, see if you can connect with Soul Dancer. I think you'd make a nice connection. And so she emailed Soul Dancer, and long story short, Soul Dancer and I have talked, and he's invited me over to the Big Island, and he's going to be my guest, my second guest on my radio show. So I'm going to be doing my second Blog Talk radio show in Hawaii, interviewing Soul Dancer. So isn't that cool?
Oh, I just think that that is so awesome. And, you know, the other, you know, and here's the takeaway. Get up in the morning and just expect the unexpected, but pay attention and being present and just doing our best, like your example with Hawaii. You just never know. And the more we can volunteer the gifts and the talents that we have, whether it be, in that example, okay, I knew somebody who you might be able to connect with, and it was my responsibility to be able to follow up on that inspiration. And we all help each other. And I think if we can set good boundaries and make good choices, you know, who we associate with, who we surround ourselves with, what we think about, you know, getting those mind vitamins, doing the spiritual practice and disciplines, like you said, and making it fun and really enjoying those results to increase our motivation, you know, the sky's the limit. And it's just, it's a real great adventure because we never know what's going to happen. It's just beyond our wildest dreams sometimes. Your Hawaii story is a great testimony to that.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's the I just love the synchronicities and listening. I had a friend call me yesterday, and she was going for a job interview, and she was very, very nervous about it, and she had been crying. And she realized that before she was putting her makeup on, before she went to the job interview, which was out of state, she forgot her mascara. And she said to God, you know, I really need to feel good, and my eyes are red from crying. What am I going to do? So she went to a Walgreens to buy a mascara, and she walked in, and she said, there's no cosmetics, which seemed very strange that there'd be no cosmetics. So she went up to the counter and said, you don't have cosmetics here? She said, no, I'm sorry, we don't. So my friend happened to say, oh, I'm going to a job interview in an hour, and I forgot my mascara, and I was really looking for it. So the woman says, well, you know what? We just received a box, and it has mascara in it. She said, I didn't know what we were going to do with it because we don't have cosmetics here. So she said, let me get the box. She went in the back, got the box. She opened the box, and there were 7 different mascaras in the box. So my friend bought a mascara and said, that's God. I mean, why she even said to the woman, you know, I need a mascara, and the woman has a box of mascaras that was sent to Walgreens that they weren't even going to put them out because they don't sell cosmetics. So my friend knew that that was God, and that's key also, to really give credit to where credit is due. You know, she could have just said, oh, that's a coincidence. But no, she knew that God had loved her so much to provide a mascara. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So simple and yet so powerful.
You know, it is, and I think that we can all be more grateful in recognizing that God cares about us in the small things. And the more we recognize that we're being taken care of and watched over, and we have that support system in place in the spiritual realm and the small things, then when the big things come along, you know, we're deeply rooted, and we can have that strong, firm faith to fight the obstacles and the windstorms.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes.
I think that that's what your book brings out is all these small things. And they small things add up to a lot. You know, there's lots of grains of sand on a beach, but you need all those little grains to make the huge beach. And I think that these small experiences, whether it be mascara or, you know, whatever it is.
Or Hawaii.
Gives, that's a bigger thing, though, Pat. Gives us the confidence to increase and fuel and feed faith, trust, and hope. And you know, when we have those things and we know we have choices and so forth, you know, I think it really gives us that peace and that happiness to enjoy everything in our life, good or bad, because it's all part of the ingredients, you know, everything. It's,
yes.
It all makes something delicious for us if we just are patient with the process, you know.
Yeah, and that's another tool that I teach people that I work with is a gratitude journal, you know, writing all these small things down, big things down, because when we do have something happen in our life where fear comes up, and whenever we're being called to a deeper walk with God or something new in our life, fear will come up, you know, that's face the fear and do it anyway. I still get fear when people say to me, you wrote a book, Simply a Woman of Faith, and you get fear, and I say, yeah, I do, but I know what to do with the fear. I know how to move through the fear. And I help people how to move through the fear, you know. So when fear does come up, to remember all these wonderful things that happen. And if you have a journal or a gratitude journal, you can go back and say, oh, yeah, that's what happened. Look, that's what happened. And that helps me. After I left my job of 20 years to step out in faith and start my own business, I had what I call a fear attack. And I just had all this fear, like, what did you do, Pat? You left a very good paying job to step out in faith, and you know, you must be crazy, and just having all this negativity. And I remember my son called, and he called from out of state, and I had the option or the choice to really be honest and tell him what was going on, or to pretend, you know, or everything is fine. And he said, how are you? And I said, Timmy, I'm terrified. I don't know if I made the right decision by stepping out in faith and starting my own business. And he listened and loved me, and he said, Mom, remember the God blouse story. And I'd like to end with that because I think that's such a powerful story of how God loves us. And the story is my ex was out of work, and we were on welfare and food stamps, and I had some time to kill as I was waiting to pick up the kids from school, and I went to the local boutique and just walking around, and I went in, I saw a sign, clearance. So I went back and I was looking through the clothes, and this blouse like just jumped out at me, and I fell in love with it. I had $10 in my pocketbook, and the blouse was $10, but the $10 was some milk and bread on the way home. And as I was reluctantly putting the blouse back, I heard that small, still voice that I choose to call God, and it was, buy it, and I will provide. And I just stood there, and I remember I was looking up, and I said, is that you, God, or is that me? I really wanted the blouse, so I was hoping it was God, and I trusted. And I bought the blouse, and I didn't buy milk and bread, and picked up the kids from school, and of course I didn't say anything to anybody, and I went in, as we were going in the house, I grabbed the mail, and there was a envelope, and all it said was Pat on it. And I said, oh, I wonder who this could be. And I opened it up, and there was a card in it, and it said, to Pat, from the son of a carpenter. And there was a $10 bill in it.
Oh, wow. And we've only got like 1 minute left, which I can't believe.
Yes.
All our time has passed. It's unbelievable. But
yes.
Did you ever find out who sent you
no.
that money?
Isn't I never
that
found
amazing?
Out.
See?
That was over 25 years ago.
Oh. Well, that is, I tell you, and, you know, it's stories like that that empower us to go out and live our best life now. And I mean, there's just so much ground that we covered today, Pat. So how can, if people want to reach you and find out about your book and website, can you give that information so that they can
yes,
contact
I'd love
you?
To. So my website is Simply a Woman of Faith, and it's WOMAN, of faith.com. And if somebody wanted to email me, it would be pat@simplyawomanoffaith.com.
Great. Yep, and your book is on Amazon, and I have some links up there, too. Well, I can't believe we've only got 15 seconds, so I have to thank you and God bless you and the listeners.
Thank you.
And join us next week when we have Dr. Karen Sherman on Tuesday the 16th, Motivational Psychologist. So go out and be your best because you're worth the effort. Thank you, and have a blessed day. Bye.
And thank you, Deb. It's been great. Bye.
Bye.